Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Anant Gauri Vaishnavanda ki. Namacharya Shri Haridas Thakur ki. Sanji Gosha Krishna Chaitanya Prabhupada Sri Veda Gadara. Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki. Shri Radha Krishna Gauri Gopinath Shyamakuna Radhakanda Gauri Gopinath ki. Shri Vrindavan Dham ki. Shri Navadi Mayapur Dham ki. Ganga Maya Gonamaya ki. Tulsi Narayana ki. Bhakti Devi ki. Jagannath Swami ki. Rāntu Rāj Śrīmad Bhagavatam ki, Kama Veda Bhaktivinoda ki, Gaur Premanandi. All glories to the Samadhi-bhaktis, all glories to the Samadhi-bhaktis. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Guru.
Idanim dhamma padaste satyam nivarta yajita tamjigri shakyata moyam anitena ditakali Idanim Dhammapadaste Satyam Neva Tayajata Tam Jigri Shatyadamoyam Enritena Ditatali. Any lady? Idanim, at the present moment, Dharma, O Personality of Religion, Pada, Le, Te, of you, Satcham, truthfulness, Nirvatayet, hobbling along somehow or other, Yata, whereby. Tam, that, Jigrikshati, trying to destroy, Adharma, the personality of irreligion, Ayam, this, Enritena, by deceit, Idita, flourishing, Kali, quarrel personified. Translation. You are now standing on only one leg, on one leg only, which is your truthfulness, and you are somehow or other hobbling along. But quarrel personified, Kali, flourishing by deceit, is also trying to destroy that leg. Please repeat. You are now standing on one leg only, which is your truthfulness. And you are somehow or other hobbling along. But quarrel personified, Kali, flourishing by deceit, is also trying to destroy that leg. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The principles of religion do not stand on some dogma or man-made formulas, but they stand on four primary regulative observances, namely austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness. The mass of people must be taught to practice these principles from childhood. Austerity means to accept voluntarily things which may not be very comfortable for the body, but are conducive for spiritual realization. For example, fasting. Fasting twice or four times a month is a sort of austerity which may be voluntarily accepted for spiritual realization only, and not for any other purposes, political or otherwise. Fastings which are meant not for self-realization but for some other purposes are condemned in the Bhagavad Gita 17:5-6. Similarly, cleanliness is necessary both for the mind and the body. Simply bodily cleanliness may help to some extent, but cleanliness of the mind is necessary, and it is effected by glorifying the Supreme Lord. No one can cleanse the accumulated mental dust without glorifying the Supreme Lord. A godless civilization cannot cleanse the mind because it has no idea of God, and for this simple reason, people under such a civilization cannot have good qualifications, however they may be materially equipped. We have to see things by their resultant action. The resultant action of human civilization in the age of Kali is dissatisfaction, so everyone is anxious to get peace of mind. This peace of mind is complete in the Satya-yuga, such an age, because of the existence of the above-mentioned attributes of the human being. Gradually these attributes have diminished in the Treta-yuga to three-fourths, in the Dwarapa to half, and in this age of Kali to one-fourth, which is also gradually diminishing on account of prevailing untruthfulness. By pride, either artificial or real, the resultant action of austerity is spoiled. By too much affection for female association, cleanliness is spoiled. By too much addiction to intoxication, mercy is spoiled. By too much lying, propaganda, truthfulness is spoiled. The revival of Bhagavad Dharma can save human civilization from falling prey to evils of all description. Om Akhanatam Randasya Ganandinam Shlakaya Chakshya Maritam Yanatasmaya Shugadayana Chuchatanimanovasam Sapatam Nikusalaya Swamavitrama and Vedasa Swapadamakam. So, modern society is very unfortunate because there's no religious principles and therefore people are suffering so much because it's only by Bhagavad Dharma following the laws of Bhagavan, Krishna, that one can actually feel satisfied. So now, of course, we have so many leaders who want to assume power and be very popular, but we know that in the history of India there are so many leaders who did not want to be put into such a situation. Maharaj Bharat, he did not want to remain ruling for longer than he had to. So he gave up the throne as quickly as possible, like said that you give up school after you pass school. So the history of Bharatvarsha is full of great personalities who did not want to be put into a position of power. And so now we have the exact opposite. Everybody wants to be put into a position of power. Everybody wants to control. Everybody wants to lord it over others. So this is demoniac, that you don't have any good qualifications, but you want to tell people what you want them to do. You want to get all the accoutrements, all the opulences of being the head person, even though you have no qualifications. So this is how modern society is, especially in America. Well, it's all over the world, actually, but here, you know, because of the political system and demon-crazy politics, and then you have the press. Prabhupada talks about lying and propaganda. Lying propaganda, truthfulness is spoiled. So where is the truthfulness nowadays? There's no who's telling the truth. So this is why people are suffering so much. Everybody is full of anxiety because we have materialistic leaders whose only goal is to somehow or other become popular by fulfilling people's material desires, and therefore we see so much destruction of the planet. So many trees are cut down, so many just natural opulences of the earth are being exploited to make plastic and to make... I mean, if you look at your garbage, it's just so depressing to me. When you throw away your garbage and you put it in your, you know, 5-gallon containers, and it's all totally unrecyclable, practically speaking, it's depressing. Sorry. But, you know, that's the world. It's just, it's become like this. Kali Yuga, of course, it does get a lot worse, so I guess we're lucky in one sense. But, you know, we should try to change society. And I think that's what Prabhupada wanted, that we should change society. Therefore, he did talk a lot about simple living, high thinking. He didn't really want us to be a part of this modern demoniac civilization. He wanted us to show something better. So therefore he did, especially at the end of his life, he talked a lot about Varnashram Dharma and getting back to a more natural way of life. But here, truthfulness, you see, when people are not trained to be truthful, because all the leaders of society are not truthful, then how is it for people who are born into this age to think that being truthful is good when all the leaders of society are not truthful? So therefore, you know, human beings, they have to be taught from a young age. Prabhupada talks about Gurukul from the age of 5 to 10, that they should be sent to Gurukul and learn these important principles. Because ultimately, we can't fool God, we can't fool Krishna, because he's in our heart, he knows what we're thinking. So therefore we have to be very honest with ourselves. We might fool everybody else, but we can't fool Krishna. So there's a very interesting class I had the other day. It was very nice. Bhakti Vigyan Swami, very intelligent devotee, Russian actually, his body's Russian. He was talking about the Vashvanahara Leela, about the Krishna stealing the clothes of the cowherd girls. And so Krishna, you will know the story, I'm sure, that the girls were bathing. They were praying to have Krishna as their husband. So they were bathing in the river Jamuna, which was very cold. And so they, it was part of their vow to have Kachayani Vrat, was to try and get Krishna as their husband. So in the middle of the winter, they were bathing in the cold water. So they took their clothes off to bathe, and along comes Krishna. And he steals their clothes. He's very mischievous. He knew their desire, that they wanted to have him as their husband, and that if a man had seen a naked woman, that woman could not marry anybody else. In fact, you know, Vedic culture was so strict that even if a girl danced on a stage, I've heard Prabhupada said that a girl even dancing in public on a stage, you know, nowadays it's different. <Don't be offended. laughs> You know, we have some wonderful dancers and it's great for preaching. But back in those days, if you were seen in public dancing on a stage, you might not get a good husband. Because things have changed a lot, and now we use the natural dancing for preaching, and it's wonderful and everything else. But these girls, they were, you know, Krishna stole their clothes, And then he made them come to him one by one with their hands raised above their head. So they were completely naked. They couldn't cover themselves up in any way. Their whole body was showing. And so Bhakti Bhagavan Swami was likening this to how we have to be completely honest and naked before Krishna. We can't hide anything. We have to be completely admit all our faults. We have to be completely aware of how insignificant we are. We have to take away all our masks and our pretenses. And this is how, you know, because sooner or later, if we don't do that, Krishna will embarrass us. And, you know, it's rather awkward when you're embarrassed in front of everybody. So we have to be honest with ourselves. We've seen it's very easy to actually become deceitful. Even in the history of our movement, I've seen big leaders actually who really thought they were very advanced devotees, and they had hundreds, if not thousands, of followers. And they worshipped in a very elaborate way. But within their heart, they must have been aware of how insignificant they were. And so, you know, they didn't last very long. So it's, you know, it's a very important principle to be honest, because we have to be honest. Although Chanakya Pandit says, you know what he says about being honest? He says that, you know, all the straight trees that are cut down in the forest, they cut down the straight trees first, but the crooked ones remain standing. So sometimes in your, like, dealings in the material world, you have to be a little crooked. But you can't be crooked with Krishna. You might be crooked with your taxes. We know that if you pay cash, people give you a better, you don't pay as much. But you can't fool Krishna. So anyway, ultimately, you know, developing all these qualities that Prabhupada talks about in this verse here, they have to be developed from a young age. So ultimately, you know, we need to have education to teach children these qualities. And we have to, and Prabhupada emphasized Varnashram so much. For instance, in the last stage of his life, he was translating the Bhagavatam. And he was lying on his deathbed. He didn't have much energy. But he was using his energy to speak purports from the Srimad Bhagavatam, from the 10th canto, the Brahma Vimohana Leela. So he hardly had any power to speak, but, you know, with his last breaths, he was saying how Varnashram is essential. Because Varnashram ultimately raises everybody from the lower modes of ignorance, because all these qualities of irreligious behavior come from the modes of nature. So we have to raise people to the mode of goodness, and this is what Prabhupada was emphasizing in that particular purport, that we have to come to the mode of goodness to actually understand Krishna. So Varnashram, these are some quotes by Srila Prabhupada. He says here, because human society means accepting this Varnashram, there must be classification, not that everyone is the same. Everyone on the same level means sudra. Forget good government for millions of years. Unless you establish this Varnashram, there is no question of good government. Therefore, this Krishna consciousness movement is so important. The leaders of society, they should take it very seriously. So in the Varnashram College, which Prabhupada wanted to establish in every temple, he said there would be no fees, because the Brahmins, they teach free of charge. They don't charge any money. And everybody would be fed because we should produce our own grains, which we don't do, unfortunately, but we need to. And then, so from 5 to 10 years of age, you go to Gurukul. What's that verse? Brahmachari Gurukule, Vasanthi, how's it go? Vasanthi, Dittorahitam. You know? Therefore, from a very young age, Prahlad Maharaj says, from the tender age of childhood, one should go to Gurukul, one should be educated. So what is education? Education is also described in the 7th canto, where Narada Muni is glorifying Prahlad Maharaj. And then he's explaining to Maharaj Parikshit, what are the principles to be followed by all human beings? So we can take a note of what these principles are. We can see which ones we need to work on. I know I need to work on a lot of them, but especially fasting on certain days of the month, which Prabhupada talks about here as austerity. So these are the general principles to be followed. This is the 7th canto, I'm not sure what chapter it is. It's chapter 11, the perfect society, 4th social classes. So Varnashram actually takes up a lot of space in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So these are the general principles to be followed by all human beings. Truthfulness, mercy, austerity, observing fasts on certain days of the month, bathing twice a day, tolerance, discrimination between right and wrong, control of the mind, control of the senses, non-violence, celibacy, charity, reading of scripture, simplicity, satisfaction, rendering service to saintly persons, gradually taking leave of unnecessary engagements, observing the futility of the unnecessary activities of human society, remaining silent and grave and avoiding unnecessary talk, considering whether one is the body or the soul, distributing food equally to all living entities, both men and animals, seeing every soul, especially in the human form, as a part of the Supreme Lord, hearing about the activities and instructions given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the shelter of the saintly persons, chanting about these activities and instructions, always remembering these activities and instructions, trying to render service, performing worship, offering obeisances, becoming a servant, becoming a friend, and surrendering one's whole self. O King Yudhisthira, these 30 qualifications must be acquired in the human form of life. Simply by acquiring these qualifications, one can satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, it's simple. If you want to satisfy Krishna, these principles need to be followed. But the hardest one out of all these 30 qualities is actually satisfaction. To be satisfied with one's situation. Because if you're not satisfied, you'll always be hankering and lamenting. So there was one famous lawyer in Calcutta, his name was C.R. Das. And C.R. Das, he was very successful because at that time Calcutta was the sort of center of the British Empire. The British East India Company, if you know anything about history of the British, they became wealthy by exploiting India. Of course, they exploited so many places. But India was the crest jewel in the crown of the British Empire. So C.R. Das, at that time, Calcutta was very wealthy. One time Prabhupada said, Calcutta is the city of palaces. You wouldn't know it if you went there nowadays. But he said that. There are some nice buildings there, but you know, it's so, you know, polluted. Everything's got black soot all over it. It's not as bad as Kanpur. Kanpur's the worst, but India's bad. Anyway, so, C.R. Das is this big lawyer. He used to make so much money. Apparently he made 30 lakhs and something, an astronomical figure. But his name is Chittaranjan. He was a devotee, but he wasn't satisfied. So he looked out his window one day, and he looked miserable. And so his wife, she said, "Oh, Chittaranjan, what's your problem? You should be happy. You got a nice wife, you got lots of money, what's your problem?" So he said, "Well, you know, I'm looking at this beggar out the window there, and I'd like to be like him." So he actually tried to be like him, and he didn't last very long, because it wasn't his nature. So this is the problem that, we have to be satisfied with what we are. This is another important aspect of honesty, to be completely satisfied with what we are. Sometimes I get envious of people. Not exactly envious, I get not of materialistic people. I get envious, a little bit of, you could say jealous. Envy means you want to, cause harm to others. I just feel jealous. I see these devotees, okay, this is who I'm jealous of. I see devotees who, they can go out, and these devotees, they go out and they collect, they sell huge numbers of books every day, like $1,500 worth of books a day. Yeah. The other day I was talking to Karma Karuna. He's Gujarati. Gujarati is a business people as well. But he's a Vaishnava, so he's transcendental. He was here the other day. He was a pharmacist. He gave it up. But he sells books. So he was complaining to me, "Well, I went to FSU, Florida State University, and, it wasn't very good. I only did $1,100. So, he was a little bit complaining. And then the next day, he had a partner, a brahmachari with him. They went to UNF, University of North Florida, and they did $1,900 in one day. So I get a little bit jealous. But the person I'm most jealous of is actually Shiva Ramaswamy. Because I'm not really jealous, because I glorify him, I love him, he's a great devotee, but he has got the whole nine yards, so to speak. That's the, you know what that means? It means you've got everything you need. So he's got, he's got a beautiful... He writes amazing books. This is the Varnashram Compendium. There's going to be more volumes. This is the first part. All about Varnashram, very interesting. So he's writing books, amazing books. He's got the most highest standard of deity worship. I look at my road where I live. It's got holes everywhere. He's got his farm community. He has beautiful cobbled. You know what cobblestone? Cobblestone? Oh, you're British, you wouldn't know. Not everyone is. Then it's just nice stones, beautifully laid out, And it goes up to the temple. The temple's like a beautiful jeweled palace, beautiful pictures. It's nice. But on top of all this, as if that's not enough, he's got this ox power unit, believe it or not, which... Maybe you're not really interested in ox power units, but I'm very interested in ox power units, because I totally believe that we should be showing people what cow protection is, and that means showing people the importance of oxen. So he has, his regular barn, his milk barn, is already a palace. It's a fantastic building, made of round earth, no electricity, he doesn't have electricity on the property. And then, of course, Hungary is not even a wealthy country compared to America. So, I get frustrated because I don't see this in America, where there's so much money, somebody can go out and sell $1,900 of books in a day, And, you know, this is in Hungary, which is not a wealthy country, but even the milking barn is already a palace, a beautiful, nice building. And then they just built this other barn. Of course, before I mention that, I should tell you about the underground storage place they have for storing food when the stool hits the fan. The underground storage place is all beautiful beveled bricks. It's very nice. They store so many things in there. But the Oxpar unit barn, I haven't seen it, but the Oxpar unit itself can actually use 8 oxen simultaneously, or maybe it's 16. Anyway, whatever it is, you can make electricity with it. You can get water out of the ground with it. You can do so many things with it. So, you know, it's a wonderful thing to show people how, because everybody's talking about electric cars and, you know, solar panels. They're pretty ugly. And the wind turbines, if you take a trip to certain parts of the UK, Wales or whatever, you know, you see the wind turbines, they're ugly as hell. They completely destroy the landscape. All over Europe, you've got them, actually Germany, they have a lot of them. So, you know, people are trying to get alternative sources of energy, but to produce the electric cars and the wind turbines, you've still got to have factories. Factory means hell. So, you know, it's definitely not perfect, even if everybody's riding around an aeroplane which is powered by solar powers, solar panels. So, anyway, so, you know, we have to be satisfied. So I'm trying to be satisfied with what I am, who I am, because I do have a pretty good life in a lot of ways. Krishna's been very, very kind to me. But still, are we supposed to be satisfied with the way the preaching is going, or with the number of devotees we're making, or, you know, the standard of deity worship, or the standard of the prasadam we're offering? The standard should be very high. My wife, she's quite observant. She was going to say something to you prior. About getting people who are not devotees going into the deity room here, because they may not be clean, even if it's to put the board up where it's supposed to be. That, you know, the standard should be so high that unless you're, like, you know, very clean, you shouldn't be going into the room then. Anyway, so, you know, we have to upgrade. We shouldn't be satisfied with who we are. We should be satisfied with what we are. You know, we are what we are. We deserve to be what we are. We get exactly what we deserve. So, but we shouldn't be satisfied to stay on that level. It's like Bhaktivinoda Thakura says, every Ekadashi, you should see how much advancement I made from the last Ekadashi. Have I made any progress or not? So this is what spiritual life is all about. It's about constantly making progress. This is what Varnashram is all about. Of course, I should probably be a sannyasi by now. I'm definitely way past the time. But at the same time, you know, I have... Well, anyway, it's complicated, but... maybe one day. So, you know, it means constantly going to a higher level and uplifting others to a higher level. You know, trying to help others by our association to come to a higher level and gradually try to create an ideal society. Anyway, so I'll finish here. Any questions, comments, or anything? Dhammaraj Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thanks for the class. There's a couple things I remembered as you were speaking.
What's that?
A couple of things I remember.
Don't hold it too close.
As you were speaking, one I heard at the Hungary temple, the farm there, that the devotees have a program where they do a maha cleaning of the temple every day, wash all the walls, the ceilings, floors, complete, and that's like an everyday program.
Every day?
Yeah, that's what I was told. And the other thing you're talking about, how we have to be honest and upfront to get Krishna. So many years ago, I heard a lecture from Gaur Govinda Maharaj, and he's saying that if you look at Krishna, he sees like he's crooked and bending. But for you to get him, you have to be like Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and you have to be straight and upfront. Your hands got to be raised up, totally straight to achieve him. So it relates to what you were saying. I just want to share that analysis.
Good point. Thank you very much. Anybody else? Hare Krishna.
I was thinking about, shouldn't the emphasis, instead of how many books we're selling, it's how many hearts are we changing?
Because
I don't know, I just feel like, the emphasis should be more on what community are we actually creating, and how many people are we attracting by actually taking interest in their life, and then how many people they're then attracting to the movement. Because I actually remember going to Hungary and to Shivaram Swami's temple, and I was really sick, and I was asking the devotees there, like, oh, can you help me? Can you take me to the doctor? And I remember I was actually, it was the first time I went to the temple, and I was looking for the bathroom, and I accidentally went down the hallway that was right next to the Didi room, and they started scolding me, and I was actually just like asking for help. So it's like, yeah, I feel like that honesty, it's how many people are we individually affecting, because then those people will be attracted to the movement. Whereas, like, if the emphasis is like, how many books are we getting out, or like, how beautiful is the place that we have, but we're actually not connecting to what people are actually going through in the world outside of our community and their struggles, then how many people are we actually attracting to our community? Because I could say that the materialistic mindset is so different from the devotee mindset, but there has to be that kind of connection that they can see that what we have here still relates to them.
Okay, thank you very much. I would say that, yeah, it's important to leave a good impression. And if they're selling a lot of books and leaving a bad impression, of course, that's not good. I don't know exactly what kind of impression they leave on people. I don't know about how you were treated in Hungary. I know when I go there, I'm always treated very nicely. But, you know, they know me. But I mean, they do have a lot of return customers. They do have a lot of people that keep going back year after year, and they have a lot of supporters. They must be doing something right. I don't know how, you know, what it was like with you and exactly what happened, but, you know, they're attracting a lot of people. They have a lot of supporters. And, you know, I wasn't there when that incident happened, so I can't really comment. But they have a high standard, that's the point. And they don't really want people, you know, the standard is so high that maybe they're worried about people going near the deity room or something, I don't know.
Yeah, I guess I could just appreciate, because then we went to a temple in Czech Republic where they're doing a similar farm.
Where is that?
I think it was Czech Republic.
Czech Republic?
Yeah. Uh-huh. They have like a similar farm, or not similar, it's a smaller scale.
Yeah,
but the devotees were so like more simple-minded there that we are all treated so well and welcomed, and so I just think that we have to be careful when our standards are so high, and then maybe people are coming in our environment and like
maybe it was a festival or something, and they were stressed out. They had a lot to do. I don't know.
I just think that instead of it being this grandiose sort of thing, which it is, it's so above what we are. But I think to actually attract people, there has to be that connection between the elevated and everyone else.
Yeah, that's true. I agree. Anyone else? Someone over here?
Hare Krishna. So Mataji, if I may. You may or may not know me. My name is Jaigopal Das, and I live here in New Ramanrethi. I've been here for 11 years. Prior to living here, I lived at Gita Nagari for 17 years. So first off, I want to applaud you for sharing something very deep and concerning to you. And this month of Kartik, I took time off away from my home and family to travel to different places within our society here, especially along the Gulf Coast. So from New Taliban Farm, to Baton Rouge at LSU, to Krishna House, Tallahassee. I just came from Krishna House, Gainesville, where I spent 5 days, and now I'm coming here because I want to do save at the farm. I'm part of our Holy Cow team. So we have field chores to do, and it's personal. My favorite save is to serve the cows. However, what you experienced, I also experienced. So I want to assure you that what you experienced shouldn't be invalidated in any way, shape, or form. Because for those of you who may be familiar with Gita Nagari in any depth, you will know that there was a treatise that Srila Prabhupada wrote in about 1947 or 49. And it's termed the Gita Nagari prophecy. Is anybody familiar with that in the room? Is anybody familiar with Prabhupada wrote this? I'm not making this up. This is factual. And because Gita Nagari Farm is named Gita Nagari, the village where the Bhagavad Gita is sung and lived, we tend to think of it as an isolated place. That's Gita Nagari Farm. But actually, each of our farms, and for that matter, each of our temples, is Gita Nagari. In fact, Prabhupada refers to it as the Gita Nagari. And if you haven't read this treatise, and you're interested in Varnashram and the melding and blending of spiritual culture into such, you should Google this document and find it and read it. I would challenge everybody in the room to do such, because the essence of that article is, Prabhupada states, the purpose, the sole purpose of the Gita Nagari is to increase the number of devotees. It's not to have cows, it's not to farm, it's not to do simple living. It's to increase the number of devotees. After my travels to these 4 or 5 places I mentioned, coming back home here, I know why I live here, New Ramanrethi, Alachua, Gainesville. Because I witnessed firsthand every morning and evening in Krishna House all the new people coming in. Adikartha Prabhu every day is doing kirtan at Krishna lunch. Thousands of people are literally 995 plates of prasadam last Friday. 900 on campus, 995 at the house. I asked various people, how many do you typically do? It can be as many as 1,400 on a busy day. I've traveled around the world. I have not been to all of our projects. I've been to many of them. And to me, Krishna House in Gainesville is the epicenter of North America. And this is a direct supporting mechanism of it. When devotees are so steeped in their service that they fail to be kind to one another, Prabhupada makes it, there's a comment, a quote, that if we build a beautiful big temple for Krishna, but we fail to care for the devotees, that is Maya. So I saw this at New Taliban. I saw this at Gita Nagari. Squalid conditions, and the leadership will tend to blame the people involved. but they're just simply trying to serve. It's like blaming the soldiers for losing a battle when they're ill-equipped, ill-trained, and ill-prepared. You send them off to a battlefield that you yourself do not want to go on. To me, this is completely wrong. Completely wrong. And I'll leave it at this. I'll put a little light side on it. I actually grew up in a family. My mother's family was Hungarian, and my dad's family was Czech Bohemian. You know, people Bohemian, you think, oh, wow. The name Bohemian comes from the kingdom of Bohemia in western Czechoslovakia. That's where my great-grandfather came from. And I will say this from personal experience. The Hungarians, my mother, they have a little bit of a mean streak in them. And the Czech Bohemians, we just want to have a good time. That's why you get the name Bohemian. So when you were saying that, I was like, of course, they're Czech Bohemians. They're friendly people and they're loving people. But all devotees, ultimately, we all want to be loving with one another. And so if we don't have fear of improper sangha amongst ourselves, improper fear of committing Vaishnava aparadha, no matter how small, no matter who it is, if we don't have sufficient fear of that, and we're just fearful of who might take something away from us, Krishna will take it all away from us. I am gravely concerned for our society as our elder disciples of Srila Prabhupada are beginning to leave their bodies. Many of you may know Shankar Prabhu passed at my house, and my son and my wife took care of him in the final days, and all the devotees rallied around that. That is proper Vaishnava Sangha. So I think there's it's a challenge to each one of us, and I've been around for so many years, and I'm so sad to see it continually going on. And what happens is, sometimes in the mood of executing devotional service, our service, we can become hard-hearted. And if we're becoming hard-hearted, we should be vigilant that is not the case. So, Varanashram is not a place, it is simply a mood that people create. That is Gita Nagari. That is how we increase the number of devotees. Hare Krishna.
I just want to make a quick comment on your point. One of my services is to be part of management, and what I find in many of our communities that the management may have or try their best to establish a very good system, but who works the system? Who fits in the system? Are people, devotees, like, you know, yourself and myself and everyone. So even though the system may shoot with the highest target, there will be individuals that don't necessarily represent that system well. And sometimes, unfortunately, we run into that, like your experience. It might be that only that one devotee behaves like that. We don't know. Or it can be many devotees, but I've had that experience also. Yeah. I had an experience where I was like totally disregarded, totally pushed aside, until someone says, hey, you know, you have to respect him. He's the manager for this whole Ratayatra here. And then I said, oh, okay, then come along. And, you know, they start treating you differently. So that's, you know, that shouldn't be the move. But there are some, yet again, the system is there and individuals are there. So to identify the individual with the system, it can be a little complicated sometimes. I just want to share that.
Yeah, I would say, there's a lady over here, and I'm going to go after her because I have to go. But I would say that, you know, in answer to you, with all respect, that I'm not negating what you say, but, you know, there's always two sides to a story. And you can't really, everybody shouldn't go away with the impression that, you know, New Brajadam is full of uncaring devotees, because I think that's unfair. I think that, you know, you would have to really hear. I'm in the middle of talking. I think you have to hear their side of the story as well. Yeah, we shouldn't be fanatics. I agree with that, definitely. But this lady over here.
To the devotees. I just want to make a short comment, and that's it, that in order to influence people and make them attracted to our movement, we have to be pure. Purity is the essence. And we preach with our example, our purity, and then we show love to people. Because this is a moment of love. It's not that we are like robots and have a wonderful temple and opulent deity worship, but we don't welcome people, we don't give them love. So that's the key, our purity. And this purity is shown in the degree that we become detached from all sense gratification. So if we want to attract devotees, especially at this time, so many spirit souls are hankering for happiness, and if we can show them the real way to get the real happiness, they will be more than welcome, more than happy to follow Krishna consciousness. But let us show love to them. Let us show comprehension. Let us show cooperation. Let us show, give them a good example. Let us become pure. Hare Krishna.
Hey,
he's
back.
I know, I
gotta
go. It's late.
I just, from personal experience, I also think, we have to have compassion for jerks who are trying to be devotees. I mean, jerks can be devotees too. I got personal experience as a jerk trying to be a devotee. So we can also show love and compassion and patience with the jerks who are trying to be devotees. They're parts and parcel of Krishna. You know, if they weren't going to do something, they wouldn't be here. You know, so what can we expect? I mean, I don't know what anybody's talking about.